from. There's supply. One more time. Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you for this day and every day that you give us, Lord. We thank you for every breath, Lord, for every privilege that we have to live in this last hour. And Lord, to walk in the revelation of this day. And Lord, what a sweet privilege, opportunity that we have, Lord, to really walk in revelation. Lord, to walk in the truth of the last days. And Lord, that this truly is the thing that they were looking for all the way through. And Lord, you give us this great privilege to live in this hour. May you just continually guide us. Let us be led of the Spirit, Lord. Let us be led day by day in all things that we do and all that we say. Give us the leadership of the Holy Ghost. May you be with those that are here, those that are not, those that would listen in. Lord, your bride around the world. We just commit all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. It's good to see you, each one. And we thank God for the... once again, be able to come together and to worship Him and to give praise and glory and honor. We had a good time on Sunday. We had a good meal afterwards and some good fellowship, and we appreciate that. And always appreciate Brother Chris and Michael and the families when they come over and join us. And so we thank the Lord for that. And now I want to make a couple of statements now. One is, we did try to recruit Brother Bosworth to sing for us tonight, and he also worked late. Brother Michael's working late, and then Brother Bosworth worked a little bit late, and so he's going to listen in at home, and so we're missing both of them, but they will be listening in. Another thing is. on Sunday, Sister Evelyn brought something to my attention, and I'd like to try to correct that if I can. Maybe I said it in the wrong way, or it sounded like a bad thing, and I didn't mean for it to. And that's when I was talking about her driveway, that I'd offered to scrape it, and she said she didn't want me to. And so I just said, I don't know why. And so I didn't mean anything by that, but so she told me on Sunday... that the reason she didn't want me to is because that when you scrape it, you scrape the snow off, then it leaves the ice. And that's the truth. And so even over at our place where I scraped the road, you take the snow off the top of it, and then that's ice. And so you're better off to have the snow to walk on and to drive on and that. So it wasn't that for any wrong reason, but... maybe it sounded like that when I said I didn't mean it that way. So the other thing is I wanted for you to remember Sister Esther and family. She lost her sister not too long ago, and then they've had sickness in the family, different ones. On Sunday, little Esther was sick also, and so they've gone through a lot. So we just want you to remember them in prayer. The Lord will just strengthen them and move all the sickness out and all of those things. And then I have another thing I want to try to straighten up for Sunday, and that is I wish that I hadn't said I hate being a pastor. That is just the wrong way to say it. I the you just forgive me. You forgive me for saying that. It's not. I don't hate being a pastor. I've been preaching long enough to. It's like Brother Goomba said the other day. He said, you know, usually the one that God calls is the one who don't want to do it. He's the one trying to get away from it. And so a lot of times that's true. And so, but I was just talking about the pressures of a pastor versus being just a missionary or something like that, just being a minister. And so there's a lot of difference. And there's a lot more responsibility and a lot more pressure and all of those things. And so that I just used the wrong words. I thank God for the privilege and the honor to serve Him. And that's the only thing we want. That's the reason we're here. We are, every one of us, the reason you're here is because you have given yourself a living sacrifice to God. Otherwise, you would be doing what the flesh would like to do. You would be just interested in the things of this life, just making money. And I've always said that. I said, any person in America for the last 40 years, for all of my life, if you want to be a millionaire, you can be a millionaire. You dedicate yourself to that, and you can do it because it's within your reach. It's there. But people, they give up everything else and they go to that, and then they have a lot of, they can retire early, they can do a lot of things. And so but when your life is given to Christ, that's back there somewhere else. That's not your number one goal. That's not the thing you're looking to. That's not what you put all your energy into. You put your energy into serving God. And so that's where we want to be. And then another one, you know, I told you for some time I've been trying to, some of these things I've been trying to get out is for the young people. And so one of them wanted to know why I was going to die in 2 years. And that, I was just quoting the scripture. I was just quoting the scripture that the Bible promised us 70 years. It said 70. And so my grandmother lived to be 99 and a half. I don't know how many years I have. I hope I have a lot more than two. But in 2 years, I'll be 70. And so we know we're getting old. It's just we've come a long ways. And it's just amazing to me to look back and see where we come from. And I know Brother Goomba's the same way. You look back and you look where you started and you look, which I wasn't a Christian and wasn't into that, but I know Brother Goomba was. They were on the mission field, and all those brothers, Brother Meshach and the different ones that were just traveling and maybe in the Pentecostal realm or whatever they were coming up in. They were working for God under that as much as that God give them at that time. And so I know I went a lot of places where in Uganda and different places around, and they always knew these brothers because they had been working for the Lord for so long. And so God's brought every one of us by different ways, different trails, and we thank Him for it, and we give Him praise and glory and honor. And so let me just say this. I love serving God. That's where I want it to be. Okay? So the ministry sometime has its challenges, but I love God. I thank God. Okay, we're going to get into this now. And so I'm going to read in Revelation chapter 2, begin at verse 20. And now I wanted to, this is, just a little bit of a foundation for Sunday. I mentioned last Sunday that I wanted to get into the fourth seal and just a little bit on that Jezebel spirit coming through, and he's talking about Armageddon there. And I just wanted to drop that in, not spend a lot of time. You could take a lot of services just on that and really work on it. But I wanted to throw it in as I'm going to Anointed Ones at the end time. And so, just look at it. But let's, verse 20, notwithstanding I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And now, I want you to notice something here, and I'm pretty sure this is out of the Thyatiran church age. I think that's where it came out of. And I pulled those scriptures out, and maybe I should have left them in there. So he's talking about this woman Jezebel, and so you know that woman Jezebel, she died a long time ago. So we're not talking about the physical woman Jezebel. We're talking about a spiritual Jezebel. We're talking about a spirit, just like the spirit of Elijah come through the ages, from Elijah to Elisha to John the Baptist to Brother Branham. And so we see how that spirit continued right on. That spirit was the spirit of God in the scriptures manifesting the promise of the age. And so here it is on the evil side is manifesting the lie, manifesting deception, manifesting the works of Satan. Verse 21, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And so on Sunday we read how Jezebel died, the woman Jezebel, and how Ahab and the death that they were going to partake of, and that the dogs would eat her and lick their blood and all of those things. See? And I was almost feeling like maybe that was so gory on Sunday it was bothering some, but I'm sorry for that, but it's the scripture. I will kill her, verse 23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Amen. So that's where it's going. So I'm just going to read a little bit here in Anointed Ones at the End Time, and then I want to read in the Church Ages book. And so, just a little bit of history there, because I want to lay that as a foundation. So you just bear with me. I hope that it won't be boring to you, but I know doing just reading sometimes it's a little bit harder. Paragraph 272, if you drop down. And Father God, I don't know who the elected is. Thou knowest. I don't know when your coming is, but I only know that you said when this takes place. And now he's referring now to Matthew 24. He's referring to these false anointed ones. See? And then he says, not right when they started. Not right when they started, because they were coming through. Just like when Moses' ministry, those false anointed started, and they were working, and they were working, and they were working till they came to full manifestation. And so the prophet's saying the same thing. He recognized it back there under the first and the second pull. He's seen that thing, and he was waiting for God to manifest it in its fullness, for God to let him expose it. And so, but he tells us when he exposes it in the latter years after the seals being revealed. He says, I knew all the time. He said, I knew all the time that their folly would be made manifest. And so he was just waiting. And so you didn't see him fighting them. You didn't see him coming against that. He was letting God do it. You said when this takes place, these false anointed ones, not right when they started. See, Moses just let them alone, for he could do no more about it. He could only say what you were saying. And you told him to call fleas, and then they called them. And you told him to turn the water into blood, then they did. Moses only carried out word by word as you said. So God let these impersonators be there for that very purpose, to deceive. So somehow God put something in there that when the one who's anointed by God for the children of God, that the children of God are able to recognize that this one that's doing it is of God.
And then the impersonator comes along, and the children of God reject that, and the children of Satan accept that. They accept the lie. They accept the impersonation. Now you explain. You explain how that is, huh? God put the seed there. God gave the revelation. God is the one who lets you see this message today. That's why two people can come in and sit down, and one of them say, "Praise God, it's clear as a bell." And the other one say, "I don't know about these things. I don't think it's like that." That's God. God is the one in control of this thing. He's the one who gives the revelation. He's the one who withholds the revelation. See? So he said, "Moses only carried out word by word as you said, but then you was the one who made the folly manifested. Now, Father, you are God." Now he's praying. "Father, you are God yet." The same word that said that this would happen in the last days. Many honest persons, as we said last Sunday, putting their hand to that ark upon a new cart and not on the shoulders of the Levites, see, has fell dead. Now he's typing that spiritually. He's typing these things spiritually. That what they did back there is the same things happening today. And these people are trying to carry around the ark and trying to have a part of it and trying to put their hand to it, and they're dying. They're dying spiritually because they're not called to that. See? "Dead in sin and trespasses, argue against their own conscience." Listen to this now. I wanted to put this out there. Many ministers sitting in his study and read that word. They read this message. They read this revelation. They know what's been said. They know what's been done. See? And they change the page quick to keep from having to blast out. To know he'll lose his social standing with the public, with his church, with his denomination. God help us to never do that. That's a spirit. And you know yourself, every one of us, we face that when we read this message. We face that when we listen to the prophet. And that thing's right there. And if there's something that we're on the edge, then God is telling us, we've got to come up to that. If we haven't came up to it, we hear him saying something and we haven't come to it, then that we're faced with the same thing that he's talking about right here. Those ministers sit right there and they know it's the word of God. They knew it back there. They came to Jesus. They told him. Said, "We know no man could do what you're doing except God be with him." And those people know that William Branham could not do this by himself. William, no man could do what he did. No man could raise the dead. No man could open the blinded eyes. No man could take the book of Revelations and open every one of those symbols and all of those things that was hidden. Open those seven seals. Reveal the seven church ages. And they read it and it makes sense. And they know that it makes sense. And then they'll wander away from it. They'll just turn the page. One more time. Many ministers sitting in his study read that word and change the page. Paragraph 275. "Cleanse our heart, Lord, from all the filth of the world. Lord, I stand ready for cleansing. I stand ready with this church and with all the listening in, whoever will listen to this tape. I stand, Lord, and ask for cleansing. Lord, take me to the potter's house and break me up." Are we willing? Are we there? Is that where we are? Is that what we're asking him for? "Mold me a servant that you would want. For Lord Jesus, I'm a man of unclean lips," as Isaiah cried, "dwelling with the people of unclean lips. And woe is me, for I see," listen to this, this is the prophet now testifying, "for I see the revelation of God being made manifest." Huh? Where does he see it? Everywhere he sees it. He sees it in the Bible. He sees it in the messages being preached. He sees it in the world. He sees it in the politics. He sees it on the streets. He sees it in the churches. We see the revelation of God being made manifest. Every one of us. For I see the revelation of God being made manifest as Isaiah saw the angels in the temple. I see the end time, Lord, and woe is me and my family. Woe is me and my people. O eternal God, have mercy upon us. I plead for myself and the people, Lord. Let us not perish with those who believe not, but may we live with the believers. Amen. Every denomination, Lord, every man, every woman. I can't ask you to bless denominations. Huh? People are still asking those things. Huh? Brother Branham said he don't even pray for America anymore. Huh? It's gone. They've rejected. They've rejected God in every way. He said if we had great men back there. We had George Washington. We had Abraham Lincoln. We had great men. He said, if you put a George Washington and an Abraham Lincoln on every corner, he said, it wouldn't do any good. We're past that. We're past it. That's what people can't grasp. They can't grasp it. See? May they hear it, Lord, and understand it with the understanding you'll give them. And may they come out and receive you. May they not be deceived by the blindness and traditions of this day. May they not try to eat. Listen to this, because this is so good. Yeah, this is just revealing. This is unfolding. May they not try to eat something that was a carcass for another day. May they take the word. Now listen what he says here. This is revealing. That's the way the Pharisees crucified you, Lord. He's still praying. He's still talking to God. And he's saying, when those Pharisees took the word of another day, when they stayed back there in Moses' law, when they were trying to lead the people away from this new revelation, from this new manifestation, they were crucifying him right then. By rejecting the word of God. And he's saying, that's the same thing today. The people crucify him again by rejecting the word of the day. It's not a different... Listen, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word is God. And God had predestinated a word, a part of himself in every age. In every age. And so the only thing that's happening is that which he predestinated of himself for this hour. That's what's happening. And when they go back to the carcass that's rotted and is dead, then they're refusing fresh meat. They're refusing fresh revelation. They're refusing a fresh invitation from God himself. That's what it is. He has come. He, the Word, has come. He, the Spirit, has come. And has made himself available to the people. See, that's the way the Pharisees crucified you, Lord. They were taking the carcass of Moses' day and trying to gloat over it. Huh? Not, you know what gloat is. Here they're taking something that's dead, that's rotten, and is no good, and then they're trying to gloat over it, to brag on it, to say, this is it, this, and they're fighting for it, and they're saying, this is the best thing, this is better than anything you got. That's deception. That's blindness. I heard a preacher one time say, why would you eat out of a garbage can when you got fresh food on the table? Why would you go and get some rotten something that you find in the dumpster or at the dump and eat that when you have fresh food? They were taking the carcass of Moses' day and trying to gloat over it after you had given the type in the wilderness of fresh manna each night. Jesus told them. That's right there in the Bible, showing them What about your fathers? You know why they did that? I was showing them. I was showing you. I put that in there for you to know that I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in every age, I'm bringing something fresh. You know that. You know that's a revelation in itself. To know that one of the most used scriptures in the whole Bible, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That Satan has so deceived the people with that scripture in that they think that means that what he said back here, he can't ever say anything else. He can't ever do anything else. That's the furthest from the truth. The truth is that he was going to bring something new in every age. That's what that scripture means. It don't mean that he said something that what they did back there in Moses' day is what you're going to be doing over here in our day. That's not what it means. What he did in Jesus' day, he's going to be doing in our day. No, that's not what it means. No. It means that he's going to give fresh manna in every age, in every day. That's why that we have 1,000 or 2,000 denominations. Is because they sat down and they sat down on the revelation in another day. The Baptists, they got something out of the Bible, but it's for another day. The Methodists come another day. The Catholics, another day. Every one of them are coming with something from another day. The Jews, same thing. See?
We'll get that. I want to hit that again.
You give it in type in the wilderness of fresh manna, meaning each generation. That's where they failed. It poisoned them, huh? You know you eat old rotten meat, it's going to poison you? That's right. Think of that. In the natural, in the spiritual. That's what he's saying. It poisoned them. It killed them to eat that contaminated food, see? And spiritually, it does the same thing today. It kills them spiritually with the denomination. That's right. It kills them. They're eating something rotten that belongs in another day. Now, this is a little bit, this is history. This is history here out of the Church Ages book. And so I want to read it. It's maybe 3 or 4 paragraphs, might be a page or so. But I want to put it in here because it really establishes not just what Satan is trying to do today spiritually, but what he did through the Church Ages and the same thing that he did back there in the wilderness, in Moses' day, coming through there. Old Testament, New Testament, right into our day, the same spirit of Satan operating through these same tactics. Now watch this doctrine of Balaam most carefully. See? What did he come in there? Balaam come right in there with the same sacrifice, the same type of worship, the same everything. Huh? But he led them off the word. He led them away from the word. Notice above all that it is the deliberate, listen, let the deliberate maneuver of a corrupt clergy to bind the people to them. This has always been. This started way back there. And every false religion, it started back there in Genesis. And this is what the plan was. And this thing came over in the New Testament. Christ paid the price by the blood of Jesus Christ to set man free. He poured out his spirit upon them. And then this spirit came right back in there and came right in and carried them into 1,000 years of dark ages of deception and putting them under these same deceiving spirits. See, and he's blaming it on the clergy now. The clergy knows what they're doing. The Roman Catholic Church knows what it's doing. It is the deliberate maneuver of a corrupt clergy to bind the people to them by leading the people deliberately into the sin of unbelief. That was Balaam's plan. That's what the plan was. See, the Nicolaitan doctrine was the corruption of the clergy as they sought political power amongst themselves, while Balaamism is the subjection of the people to their system of creed and worship in order to hold them. Huh? So the clergy gets the power, the political power, and it binds the clergy, puts the sheep under them and holds them there. Binds them. Huh? With what? Fear and deception. You watch, I got a lot of good Spanish friends. And they're born Catholic. And rather they do anything, their whole religious thought process is Catholicism. They don't know anything else. They don't care about anything else. They just that's what they were raised to believe. And they're locked in that thing. And when you talk to them, if you say anything against that boy, you're walking on dangerous ground. Because now you're talking about the Pope. Now you're talking about their priest. You're talking about these different things. It takes a revelation of God to get them out of that. It takes God to come down and reveal to them to bring them out of those things. Now watch this carefully now. What was it that bound the people to the nominal church and thereby destroyed them? It was the creeds and dogmas formed into church tenets. It was the doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church. They were not given the true food, the word. They were given the food that come from idol worship. Babylonian paganism, see, wrapped up in Christian terminology. That's all it is. That's exactly what the nominal churches are now. Christian terminology. Just leave a few Bible names in there and a few Bible stories in there and call it Christianity. It's a deception. They were given the food that came from idol worship, Babylonian paganism, wrapped up in Christian terminology. And that very same spirit and doctrine is right amongst the Protestants, and it is called denomination. Nicolaitanism is organization. Humanizing the leadership of the church. Huh? Humanizing it. You say, well, there's men, there's preachers. Yep, no, God is the leader. The Holy Spirit is the leader. It's when God can get man. It's when God can get the people. Huh? It's not somebody being over the people. It's God being over the people. It's the Holy Spirit being over the people. And that's the beauty of it, is when you get the body moving together under the Spirit of God. It's an amazing thing. Like I said on Sunday about a marriage. When you get a man and a woman that is as one, that's a beautiful thing. When you find that she's in subjection to her husband and he loves her like he loves himself, he treats her like he treats himself, then you're going to see that move as one body. And that's how it is in the spiritual. When we come in that union with him, then we move as one unit. Humanizing the leadership of the church and thereby deposing the Spirit, putting the Spirit out of it altogether. Balaamism is denominationalism, which takes the church manual instead of the Bible. But remember now, it's because they're going to keep their church terminology. Don't you young people, don't miss that. Don't think, oh well, no, they're reading right out of the Bible. Yeah, they're reading out of the Bible. But they're taking a denominational interpretation. They're taking a denominational idea. They're taking what the clergy is teaching, humanizing it. It's got to be God. It's got to be the Spirit of God moving and interpreting His Word. See, They take the church manual instead of the Bible. And right to this hour, many of God's people are caught in the snare of denominationalism. And God is crying to them, come out of her, my people, lest you be partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plague. See? You see, they are ignorant. You see, they are ignorant. Huh? What did Revelation chapter 3 said? They were miserable, blind, naked, and didn't know it. They're ignorant. Think about it. Is God going to wink at that ignorance? Huh? Is God going to overlook that ignorance? They're nice people. They're sincere people. They do good things. Is God going to overlook that? Listen what he's saying. See? You see they are ignorant. But if the rapture should take place at this moment, ignorance would be no court of appeals from the judgment of God for being in the wrong ranks. Huh? Think about what he's saying. Now, he's already telling us that they crucified him by rejecting the word of the age. And now he's saying, you want to go sit in that? You want to go sit under that dead carcass? You want to go sit under that lie? You want to go sit under that spiritual idolatry? God is not going to overlook that. No, the Bible says that where the carcass is, the true carcass, there will the eagles gather together. You say, well, I got a lot of friends over here. I got family over here. This is where the mayor goes. This is where the president goes. This is where the different ones go. Huh? No. You're going to be where the word is. You're going to be where God is. That's where you're going to be. Remember, it's a walk between you and God. 372, paragraph 1. For the clergy to organize themselves with one rank over another until they are finally headed up by a president is a manifestation of the Antichrist spirit, regardless of how wonderful and necessary it may seem. It is nothing but human reasoning taking the place of the word. Listen, this is serious stuff. This is serious thinking. And he said, this seems like a good way. It seems like a right way. But he's telling us that they're putting God out of it when they do it. Any person who is in the organized denominations is right in the midst of an antichrist system. And now let me say this and make it very plain. I'm not against the people. I'm against the system. Right? That's the thing. We have the same message that prophet had. We're calling them out. Come out of her. Come out of there. Come into Christ. With a state and church union, the stage has been set for the dark ages. Now, this is going way back now. And this is where it come through. But we took it all the way back to the Old Testament and seen that same spirit working there. And then now here it is in the New Testament in the Dark Ages. See, and indeed for about 1,000 years, the church went into the depth of blackness, knowing the depths of Satan. When any religious people embrace both Nicolaitanism and Balaamism and have the political, financial, and physical power to back it up, there's only one direction it can go. And that direction is right into Jezebel doctrine. That's it right there. That's where it ends up. And I'm telling you what, she was a witch. She was the worst of the worst. She killed those priests of God. She killed the genuine and she brought in her own teachers. She brought in her own priests. She brought in her own God. She brought in her own thing. And then she forced the people to worship a lie. She then took over the religion of the people. I'm sorry, let's see, I jumped ahead. Now, why do we say this? Because as we pointed out in the study of the fourth age, that Jezebel was Sidonian and the daughter of Ithbel. Huh? Thank you. Who was the king priest to Astarte? Something like that. He was a murderer. And this woman married Ahab, king of Israel, for political expediency. She then took over the religion of the people and murdered the Levites, erected temples wherein she caused the people to worship Astarte, Venus, and Baal, the sun god. She formulated the teaching. Listen to this. She formulated the teaching and made her priests teach it. And they, in turn, made the people accept it. Do you see what a deception this was? Do you see how it was forced in there by the power of Satan? How they come right in, they married into it, she married into it, and then she had the domination over her husband. And she voted in the religion, she voted in the politics, she voted in. That's exactly what Brother Branham said about Kennedy. He said, when the women was given the right to vote, he said, they voted him in. Him a Catholic. I think maybe he might have been the first Catholic. Because back when, I think it was Brown, he was about the best candidate at that time. And that was way back before. But he was not elected just because he was a Catholic. But as Satan kept moving and kept mixing and kept working that thing together, then here we come. And then we've had Catholic after Catholic. Now it's infiltrated with Catholics. That's right. I hate to tell you, but it's the Antichrist spirit. And it's there. And it's a web. And it's just completely... It's in there and you're not going to get it out. It's fulfilling what the scripture promised for this day. See, there you can see exactly what the nominal church was in the Dark Ages. They left the Word of God entirely, except for names and titles of Godhead and a few scriptural principles. A few. They twisted what they did take out of the Bible by changing its meaning. Their college of bishops, etc., wrote vast treatises. Their popes declared themselves infallible and said they received a revelation from God and spoke as God to the people. All this was taught to the priest, who through fear made the people believe it. To dissent was death or excommunication, which might be worse than death. And it was now the church with the assured voice that took over. And wild with power, they drank the blood of the martyrs until the true Christians were all but exterminated and there was hardly any word left. Huh? Who's the word? God. Huh? And little manifestation of the Holy Ghost. But the true vine struggled and survived. God was faithful to the little flock. And in spite of what Rome might do to their bodies, Rome could not kill the spirit within them. And the light of the truth shone on, backed by the Holy Spirit and by power. Praise be to God. Satan, it just all the way through, was fighting. There was something there that I wanted to... That Antichrist spirit... page 373, verse 1. This is a good place to make an illuminating observation. Look, the deeds and doctrines of the Nicolaitans, the doctrine of Balaam, and the teaching of the false prophetess Jezebel do not constitute three spirits or make three spiritual principles. What's he saying? He's saying this is one devil spirit. But these three are but the various manifestations of the same spirit as it goes from depth to depth. It just gets more evil and worse and worse. See? What it all is the Antichrist spirit of organization in its three various stages. You know, that He brings that perfectly in the seals. On we'll read that on Sunday. They oppressed, see, by the they oppressed the people by leading them into and binding them to organization. See, this organization was based on the creeds and dogma which they taught the people instead of the pure word of God. And that's where they always get off. And it's the same thing in this message. It's the same thing with ministers going out. And these are the real ministers that are turning the page. A lot of them out there, they're ignorant to it. But those that have heard the prophet, those that sat under the prophet, they're reading these same messages. And these things that have been being taught for the last 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, they're reading it in the books now. And they're turning the page. They're turning the page. That's right. When you go out there preaching, brother, it's in here. It's in here. And then they start reading that book. And they said, yeah, that's exactly what Goomba said. And there the prophet says it too. And they turn the page. And they turn the page. They know it's in there. They know it's in there. And that's why so many of them, it's made a lot of make-believers now. Before they just denied it. Now some of them are saying, yeah, I know it's there, but it don't mean that. See? They're not. Some of them are accepting. Sure, there's some acceptance. And we thank God for that. But only the seed can accept it. But the majority rejects it. Ritual and ceremony has given an increasing part in worship. And soon this whole system was a militant and diabolical power that did its best to control all through the persuasion of discourse or literal force. It received its energy from its own false prophecies and not the word of God. It was now absolutely antichrist, though it came in Christ's name. And this just reminds me of something I was looking for a minute ago, because when he was talking about they give their prophecies, they come with thus saith the Lord. They come declaring that what they're saying is thus saith the Lord. That's always bothered me when I get around somebody and everything they think is thus saith the Lord. That scares me. You listen, the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me this, and they got the more the Lord told me, and I'm not criticizing that. If God told you, that's fine. That's wonderful. But you listen to some people, some preachers talk, and it's like God talks to them more than he talked to the prophet. It's like all day long God is telling them something, telling them something, telling them something. I fear to say that. I fear. But God is speaking to every heart. And God is leading every seed of God by his Spirit and by his word. I know that's true. But when you get to that place where you think everything that comes into your mind is thus saith the Lord, you find yourself going off the word. Okay. In the message leadership, I had a little something here. Just kind of throw it in here at the last minute. And in here, he's talking about, first he's talking about women and their dressing and everything. And he takes away their excuses. You know, he said, this is all they sell. And it's true. When you go to the store, they don't have much for a Christian. But he takes his excuses away by saying they have sewing machines and they sell the goods. And so we don't have an excuse for not doing the things right. And so then he continues on and he's talking about the slave who was the son of a king. And he tells that story. And he says, that man, though he's in a foreign land, and though he's being mistreated, And he's being treated as an animal. And he's being forced to work. And he's beaten. Sometimes for no reason at all. And yet he holds his head up. And his character is always intact. And Brother Branham, I was reading in another message today, where Brother Branham said, who do you identify with, or who would you identify? If you was in the days of Moses, who would you have identified with? Korah and Dathan, or with Moses? If you would have been in Jesus' day or John the Baptist's day, would you have went with John the Baptist, this wild man, who had no education, who didn't talk right, who was dressed in camel skin? No education, nothing. Or would you go with the priest and the synagogue? Think about it. The only thing that could get me away from those priests and that synagogue would be for God to reveal to me that this wild man is the voice of God. That's the only way I could do it. I'd be looking at those temples. I would be looking at all of this is God's. This is Jerusalem. This is God's city. This is God's people. These are the Levites. These are God's priests. How am I going to go to that wild man? God got to reveal it. That the spirit of Balaamism has got into these priests. That the spirit of Nicolaitanism has got into these priests. That Jezebel spirit, that evil spirit of Satan has got into these priests. And they're not even worshiping God anymore. Although the people think that they are. But they're actually worshiping Satan, thinking that they're worshiping God. Let's drop down to paragraph 185. One time a fellow there with his chest out, his chin up, you know, he didn't have to whip him. He was right up and he kept the morals of the rest of them up. You know that. You know that's the truth. You take somebody, no matter how bad the conditions, you just let one person hold their head up and keep a positive attitude, it'll keep those around them. It strengthens those around them. It encourages those around them. You be that one person that's always happy and joyful and smiling and praising God. And you watch what it does to the people around you. It rubs off on them. I've seen people like that. You get around them and they lift you up. They lift you up. And that's how believers are. They lift you up. You see them, they lift you up. So this man's saying, hey, I want to know about this guy. Is he the boss over the rest of them? Do you feed him different? See? No, he's a slave. He eats out there with the rest of them. What makes him different? He said, I wondered until I found out over in Africa where the Boers bought them and brought them over here and sold them for slaves. Over there, his father is a king of the tribe. Yet an alien away from home, he knows he's the son of a king. So he conducts himself that way. Now, this is what I wanted to read. 190. What a rebuke to Christianity. We're supposed to represent God and eternal life. And there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God. And he alone has eternal life, and we are products of his, because we're genes of his spirit, praise God. Then we should conduct ourselves, women and men, like the Bible said for us. Not Jezebels of the street, Rickies of the organization, but Christian gentlemen, sons and daughters of God, born of the Spirit of God, manifesting the light in our days and scattering it, see? That's right, that's exactly right. See, but what's happened to the church world? It's drifted away. What's happened to the message world? It's drifted away. It's getting away. There's got to be a something down in there holding us. Holding us to him. How far we've drifted from it. Why? The same thing this boy did here, talking about the rich young ruler. He rejected. He refused eternal life. Remember on Sunday what he said happens? When you reject the word, when you reject the leading of the Spirit, God gives you an evil spirit. He gives you a lie to believe, to follow after. See, he rejected, refused eternal life because it would cost him his social standing. It cost him his luxury of money. It would cost him his fellowship in the church. It would cost him a lot of things. He knew what it was going to cost him. See, he was a sensible boy. And he felt he couldn't pay the price. He and people know today. They know there's a price. They know. That's why they turn the page. They don't want to pay the price. See? Yet he thought, see, I'll just trust my religion and go on. But down in his heart, listen to this now. This is exactly, every one of us, we know. This boy knowed. He had everything. We don't have all the riches. We don't have all that. But he had it. He was rich. He was wealthy. He had everything. He had this social standing. He had all of it. But he knew, the Bible says, he knew that he didn't have eternal life. He knew it. He knew he needed it. He wanted it. But he didn't want to pay the price. And brothers, sisters, there's a price to pay. It's complete total separation. It's complete total surrender to God. That's my message to the young people. My young people. I got young people. That's right. I got young people. They have got to walk in this light. Everything else is death. I know. When somebody comes like that, it's just like, how can this be the only thing? I told a woman that, I don't know how long ago, but maybe 15 years ago, the same woman that we went to this Baptist church over here for my mother, took my mother over there, she asked me to, and as we come out, and it was the most dead thing that I had ever been in, and this woman says, my soul was fed. My soul was fed. And I'm like, I was just like, couldn't believe it. But the same woman, probably 10 years before that, I was witnessing to her about this message. And I told her that God sent a prophet. And I told her. And she said, how could that be? And we don't know about it. We never heard of him. That's their idea. Well, how do you expect to hear from him? You're hearing from him. How did you hear about the Christ in the first place? How did you hear? What about John the Baptist? How do they hear about him? He thought he'd trust his religion. But down in his heart, he knew there was something about Jesus Christ that was different from the priest of that day. People, that's exactly right. People come around and they hear you talking about this revelation. They hear you talking about these spiritual things. And they know there's something different. They know there's something there. They're the salt. There's something that's drawing them. There's something that's speaking to their heart. But the problem is, are they willing to pay the price? Are they willing to surrender? See? And any message that's come in a genuine, born message of God is different from the old trend. When a divine healing went forth not long ago, did you notice how many impersonators followed it? See? And every one of them went right into organization. Huh? Staying there. Does anyone know that there had to be a message follow that? Oh my. I thank God. Because when I first come and I seen the gift and I seen that healing and I seen that it went around the world, I had no idea there was a message. I had no idea there was a message. But one day, I found out there was a message. And really, it was greater. It lit a fire that was greater than that healing campaign. It was greater than anything else. Does anyone know that there had to be a message follow that? Why God don't entertain us? He attracts our attention with something. And when he attracts our attention, then he's got his message. Praise be to God. Oh my. Paragraph 199. We're closing now. See, even the priests know that. See, let's see. Yeah. Even the priests know that. Nicodemus said, we know, the Sanhedrin Council, that no man could do these works except it be from God. See? Peter on the day of Pentecost said, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. God was with him. Huh? And Paul talked about it. He said, these things weren't done in a corner. Huh? These things were done right out in the open, right before everybody, to see it, to recognize, to know that this was God. See, look in the scriptures. See, oh, Peter on the day of Pentecost said, Jesus, I'm sorry, 201. Look in the scriptures, what the scriptures said would do. Jesus said, search the scripture. In them, you think you have eternal life? They are what testifies of me. If you would have known Moses, you would know me. For Moses wrote that I would come in the form that I would come in. Huh? Even told the form. He come as the Son of Man. He comes in three names as God. Three. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Same God. It's three attributes. See? Now then also justification, sanctification. See? Luther, Pentecost, same thing. Three attributes, three stations, three church ages. That's right. Same thing. Water, blood, and spirit. You think of the 100 times. I was thinking of this one, brother. I think it was on Sunday. One time, not just Brother Goomba was talking about. And I was thinking about, we had some people here one time. I think it might have been the last message Brother Goomba preached. But anyways, we had a bunch of people from the Philippines here. And there was a couple that we was talking to, witnessing to. I was preaching. And that I took those quotes Brother Branham said 100 times. Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. Why didn't he, if it would have been anybody else saying it, or anybody else fulfilling that position, it would have been Luther, Wesley, Branham. Luther, Wesley, Branham. Luther, Wesley, Branham. Huh? But he put Pentecost in there. He could have said sanctification, justification, Pentecost. Huh? The Holy Ghost, pouring out of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift, returning the gifts into the church. Say it like it is. It was William Branham, was that seventh angel. And when those seals opened up, Jesus Christ himself began to take over. It no longer was the man. It wasn't the seventh angel's message anymore. It was the message of Christ himself. You read it. He says it plainly in the token messages. He says it plainly in there. Same thing. See? A water, blood, spirit. Just as you go along there, the three elements that it takes you back into the body. Like it brings you from your natural birth. Types your spiritual birth. A baby's born. The first thing's water, blood, then life. That's the way you come into the kingdom of God. The same way. That's the way the church comes in, the same way, same thing. Now notice, on these three things, God is forming his body. That's right. See? And we find here that you have a right in your choice. You choose the girl that you're going to marry, you want to marry, she accepts you, all right. Then another thing, you have a choice whether you want to live or whether you want to don't want to live. And you choose now between life and death. You can live. See? The boy had that choice. He was successful in everything else. A religious man. See? But he knowed. He spoke it of himself. I've observed all the commandments since I was a youth. I was a good boy. I did everything my parents said. I obeyed the law. I obeyed the priest. I done everything I was supposed to do. Yet, one thing he lacked. One thing he knew that he didn't have. I've observed all these commandments since I was a youth, but he knowed he didn't have eternal life. See? He had a choice to accept it or refuse it. And he turned it down. And that was the most fatal mistake that he could ever make. The rest of it wouldn't amount. It doesn't amount unless you take that choice. Amen. Praise be to God. That's the choice. That's the one thing that we've got to do, is when we come face to face with God, with Jesus Christ, and He is the Word, and we're looking at that Word, we have got to surrender to it. We have got to accept it. It can't just be pushed out there. We can't turn the page. We can't be like Pilate and wash our hands and say, I don't want nothing to do with it. He had the power in His hands to stop that. But He wouldn't. He let the people have what they wanted. That's what preachers do. They let the people have what they want. And then themselves, they sell out to God. They sell out. God help us. Let us stand together. God be merciful. God, let us be led of the Spirit. That's a big word. That's a big statement. God, let us be led day by day in everything. And there's a way to do that. And it's right through this message. This message is God talking to His people. And His Spirit moves on you as this Word is speaking to your heart. And it tells you when to turn. And it tells you when to go this way and to go that way. And what to do and what not to do. It's Him. It's Him. That's right. Praise be to God. Brother Guma, we'll ask you to come.
I bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm just going to pray. Thank you very much, Brother Dawn. That was quite a good service. Wow. You know, it has really been in my heart about the message there. It's really been in my heart. And God is getting it deeper and deeper.
Amen.
And deeper.
That's right, brother.
I got a quote. Somebody asked me a question in Kenya, and I got a quote, and I think I read it here, that to be in the church ages today, to be in the church ages, oh, no, I'm not preaching.
No. this one doesn't pick it up so good.
No, it doesn't. Okay, to be in the churches today, to not to be in the message of this day, is to be in the other tree.
Yes.
And it says to be in the bride is the tree of life. So what do you think the other tree is? It's the tree of death. It's very, very important to be in the right tree. That is the tree of life. And that is this message. If you get out of this message, you get into the death, into the other tree. That is the tree of death. Another thing, Brother Don, I wanted to say is about, you see, I don't think Brother Don meant that we have a whip on him. You go to be the pastor. No, that's not what he meant. That's not what he meant. No, that's what he meant. That, you understand what I mean? I'm saying, I don't think you meant that we have a whip on you, that you go to be a pastor. Stay here. Gonna be that's not the case. That's not the case. That's not what you meant. I think that's true. That people. Let me talk about myself. If you ask me, before I came to preaching, generally preaching. Before I came to the administration, I didn't know it is like this. So now I come, I don't like it. Let me tell you, I don't like. If God had. You know, if I like serving God, I like to serve God. But if God came today and asked me, would you like to be a rich guy who is going to work and forget about this? I would choose that. And support others. Go. Because I want the work of the Lord to be done. That's what because when you come to this, you realize what it is. It's not easy. You get people and you don't know what to do. You are crying and they are before you and they are denying it before you and you're giving it to them and it's like that and it's kind of grinding you. It's not easy. I'm in Pakistan. They are telling me they can show me around, they can show me around. I'm feeling like I don't even have that time. I want you to sit down. I have things to tell you. I want you to sit down. I don't want that. Those things. Why can't I be a tourist and go and see things and see places? Why can't I do that? I'm here. Why don't I do that? You have something grinding. They don't. And you admire them. It's like they don't care. I mean, it's not that they don't care. But this is eating me. This is eating me. And people don't realize that, brother. He's eating me. He's on me. There's nothing I can do. And I see them relaxing. I wish I would relax like them. But I cannot. I don't have that luxury. Do you understand what I mean, brothers and sisters? Do you understand that? It's not that we hate it. No, we don't. We like it. But it's so much. That's why I was telling Amber, and I think I was talking to Amber, and I was telling her, look here. It is not that Jonah was not a preacher. It was not that. Jonah is a preacher, and he wants to preach. He wants to preach. But I don't know. Why can't I go to Tarshish? That's better. This is easier. Why don't I have this easier one? Why are you telling me to go to that heavy one? I know those guys, they're not going to believe. And you, Lord, you're gonna come there and save them anyhow. And I'll be left there, like, ashamed. Let me show you something. People gather around you. They tell you, pray for us. And you can see they are suffering. And God is not telling you anything. God is not telling you that he's going to heal them or not, and you're there. And the only thing you can do is just pray for them, and they're looking at you, and there's nothing you can do. And you look, and they look at you, you are the one who is going to help them. And there's nothing you can do. You understand what I mean? That's how heavy it is. It's not easy. However, we are here to do what God wants us to do. We are not quitting. We are not leaving it. We're going to stop. And if the burden gets greater, I'm still going to be in it. Whatever God wants me to do, if whatever it is, whatever it takes, I'm in it. I'm not moving. Was there a choice? If there was a choice, I would think. But there's no choice. This is what I'm. It's just like this, and I'm not preaching, but it's just like when legs. There was somebody, you know, this Caleb Sam called Steve. Steve broke his leg, and he has metal in his leg. Then it took a very long time for him even to be able to walk on his leg. But now I had metal on my hand, is right? And I looked at him, I said, oh, I'm better. I'm better than him. Because, you know, the hand is not walking all the time. The hand can be smeared. Do you understand that? I can say, I'm not going to pick up things with this hand because it's hurting. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's no alternative for legs. You got to walk. You got to go. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no alternative. You got to walk. But I can have an alternative and say, I'm not going to lift you. I'm not going to lift you, nothing. Do you understand what I mean? It's just like that. You wish that, it's not that you don't want to be in the body of Christ, but you wish that I'm a hand, not a leg, when it comes to walking. That's exactly what it means. It's not that we hate it. No, I hope you understand what I mean. It's not that. It's not that Don hates pastorship. It's not that. God loves serving the Lord. But sometimes it's so much. And the thing is, that is why God demands, and I don't know, didn't mean to say this, but that is why God says he demands respect to his servants. He's not please respect me. No, God says he demands respect upon them. That's a very serious statement, eh? Because he knows the kind of burdens they are carrying. And the only thing you can do is just pray for them, pray for us, be with us, give us your right hand of fellowship. Give Brother Don your right of hand of fellowship. Stand with him. That's all you can do. And we stand with you also. I stand with you. We stand with one another. We love one another. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. And thank you for speaking the way you've spoken. And Lord, we know that you are speaking to us. And sometimes, Lord God, we think that the preacher, when he's preaching, he's touching on our soft places. But Lord, I pray, Father, that you touch it. I pray, Father, that every weakness, everything that you see, have not come to the place where you want it to be. Bring it, Lord. It might be painful sometimes. Sometimes it be you whipping me. Whip me, Father. Do whatsoever it takes, Lord, but bring me to the standard, Lord God, that you want.
Yes.
It's my prayer, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord, but I want to be there. I want to be in a place where, Father, It will be, I'll be preaching to you. You'll be happy with me. But you look at me, Lord God, and you'll be proud like you did with Job one time when you told the devil, have you seen my son down there? Have you seen him? Let it be, Father, that that will be the case with me, Lord. Use the preachers, use sisters, use brothers. Whatever you use, Lord, use everything that, Lord God, you can use to bring me closer to you, Father, is my prayer. Help the brothers and sisters, wherever they are, Lord, be with them and bless them, Lord. All of us, Father, we are yours now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you.
Thank you.